This week on RSBMB Update, Tier 92 dies are here. Also, a discussion on action bars in the lower levels of combat, new rewards from Evil Dave's Big Day Out, and a rundown of skill cape perks. Also, we re-examine ranching and skill cape quests. This is RSBMB Update, episode 668, recorded Friday, April 27th, 2018. Breaking Bars. Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us once again for RSBNB Update. We're back this week. Tanis is here with us. Welcome back, Tanis.
Thank you, Shane.
And also joining us this week is Tycho from Clan Quest. Welcome back, Tycho.
Oh, thank you, Shane. Oh, I got so many fan mails, I just had to come back. And with what we got this week, I really felt I gotta be here. I mean, we talked about this pre-show, and what did we talk about? Well, soon you will know.
Yeah, lots of, maybe not too many patch notes this week. But, you know, some updates that I think were sorely needed, given the state that the combat tutorial is in, but we're getting ahead of ourselves right now. So with that being said, this week is effectively a patch week, and what we're going to do is we're going to go through the week's RS updates and provide those to you with the insight that you guys love and enjoy. So, patch week this week, Tier 92 dies. You can now die the Kopesha, Tutmakin, and Elidnis, the Wand of the Praesil, and the Imperium Core with the Blood, Barrow, Shadow, or Third Age dies. And they apparently planned to release this a few months ago, but held it back because the community wanted it to be in the right spot.
Okay.
You guys know anyone who dies weapons?
I'm sure Tycho does. All his countrymen, man, that's the dice world, dude. Everyone's walking around with dice.
Oh, no.
Staring bows and everything. Just crazy. Craziness over there.
Well, I can tell you, Tanis, that I have never worn Tier 90 armor. That's, and believe me, that's surprising, but I'm playing like half Ironman. I'm using the Grand Exchange as an extension of my bank space. So I keep memorizing what I sell so I can buy it back, but I don't buy things that I don't acquire myself. So I have actually never been wearing Cyrenic armor, even though I have collected enough Cyrenic scales to make one. And I also got to admit, I'm a fan of Mod Timbo. Mod Raven also, but Mod Timbo. So I spent a lot of time acquiring a lot of money and bought a Hasselmere's Signet Ring after not being able to get it the usual way.
Why didn't you just take it and wear it with you when you went to Runefest and make him give you one?
I tried. I mean, I even pulled it out of his ear. I mean, I've been telling this story like 200 times now. I dressed up as Hasselmere. I pulled the ring out of his ear. I took a selfie with him, and he asked for the selfie. But in the end, he's, you know, J-Mods can't give out free stuff to players.
Okay.
The one rule between me and that ring.
So I was just talking about how expensive the dies are, and a lot of people that play on 119 have a lot of dyed stuff, and you're like, no, I'm kind of an Iron Man, and you're like, I mean, except for my Hasselmere ring. What? Yeah, dude, well, you're dice too.
Well, yeah, the Hasselmere ring is actually an exception. It's more, I mean, if you go to Runefest and you cosplay as Hasselmere and you go ahead and I talk with Mod Timbo, when aren't you worthy of saving billions and billions of DP? I mean, they cost more than max cash stack.
What should I go as?
I know. No, I hate it, man. I just think it's funny. You're like, no, I don't spend too much, you know, except for my Hasselmere ring.
2.4 billion.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that's the same. And one day I just suddenly, whoa, I reached max cash stack, and it's the first time ever I've done that. So that's what's an achievement along the way.
Well, I have trouble.
That's a lot of grape, Shane.
I have trouble cracking 200 mil. I mean, 100 mil.
I mean, I got RNG on my side, and item wise. And you also got RNG, I hear.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Anyways.
That's pet wise.
So, yeah, there's our story on dice, folks. I mean, if you have any of these tier 92 weapons, you can now die them up. So, that's sad. But what we're actually here for and what we want to discuss in significant quantities is the fact that the combat tutorial has now been updated. And this is the first time since 2012 that it has been updated, which means the last time it was updated was about when EOC came out.
That is insane.
And, you know, you think of how many things we had throughout that time. We had Revolution because, you know, that didn't ship with EOC. We have Revolution Plus Plus now, and all the new combat abilities, and you know the general smartness that goes around with this. So, you know, I think that's one thing they definitely needed to get people on the right track with, and you know, along with the new player experience, they are also starting off the players now on Revolution, whereas previously they were on full manual.
Yes, full manual. And full manual, you gotta press those buttons yourselves. And that can be a bit overwhelming if you're a new player.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Well, way to think about the retention rates there, guys. I mean,
So,
yeah.
These new abilities are also... Or sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. This new tutorial also brings in the ability for the set up action bar button when you right click on the cog to give you new action bars based on what you are wearing on your character. And we did some testing with this. And
yeah, we did.
They're okay for the most part, but there's some really odd ones, aren't there, Tycho?
Yeah.
So let's start with what's okay and good.
So if I give you a picture pre-show here with the 8 action bars that we got from the setup action bar service. And the first one at the top, that's two-hand melee. I'm looking at it and I'm just, I'm feeling happy, like Berserk at the front, the very reason that melee is such a strong, the combat style that deals the most damage. Berserk is the reason, and it's in first place. I mean, that got my approval.
And that's an ultimate ability, of course.
Yeah, and that's why it's so important that it's on the first place, that if you get 100% adrenaline, which in a sense you shouldn't have, as you should be using it on thresholds, you get to use it instantly, and that makes me very happy. And we have Hurricane as threshold, and then the strong basic abilities, Assault, and so on. And that makes me really happy. We will go into a small detail here that people might have noticed by now, but we will take it soon. Then we have Melee with Shield, and I'm looking at it, and I'm feeling happy. At the same time, I'm noticing the... It's built very differently compared to two.
I have a question.
Yes?
Who uses shields except for, you know, the odd chance of hitting a shield ability when tanking?
Yeah, you just do it for tanking. Yeah.
Well, nobody nowadays that I know of.
Okay.
Because shield abilities gives a damage reduction, but it's not worth it because the best defense is a very good offense. So it's only specific bosses that hits really hard where teamwork is needed, that you have a tank that knows his stuff and are using shield abilities. And at that moment, the person makes his own action bar and doesn't ask for it.
Yeah.
Well, I want to clarify, too, that these are these bars for Revolution Plus Plus? Because
yes,
if Berserk, yes. Okay, because I was thinking if Berserk is in slot one, then that should be a plus plus bar,
right?
Okay.
And yes, see, it is a plus plus bar, and the thing is that when you initially set this up, it doesn't toggle on thresholds or ultimates in your combat settings. So it is still up to the player to go into the combat settings and choose if they want auto activation of thresholds and ultimates. Now, I think thresholds are probably okay if you're doing Slayer to have automatically activated. I'm not so sure about ultimates.
I mean, ultimates are very important. It's a
it depends small what you're
game.
Using.
Yeah, it's a small game changer in itself. It takes all your adrenaline. So it's a high risk, high reward. And thus it has to be managed correctly. But if we look at Revolution Plus Plus as a fully action bar that's towards AFK escape, where you can go and take a bathroom break, then two-hand melee that we're seeing in front of us is the optional bar. You can walk away and it does the job for you.
Yeah. And, you know, we did some looking into this, and the two-handed melee is an exact copy, or that's the one we said was an exact copy from the RS wiki, right?
Yeah, so before we go into that, I just have one question that I want you both to answer.
All right.
What do you think is the purpose of this update?
The purpose of this update is to make it so that someone who is playing on RuneScape Mobile can equip two weapons, go there, learn about combat, and then choose setup action bar and be able to kill things effectively.
Yep, exactly my sentiments. Well, that's exactly my thoughts too. This is for mobile. We're gearing up for mobile. We're getting ready for that. Tutorial Island's going to teach you a little bit about, like, here, make a weapon, go stab a rat. Once you get out of there and you're at the Combat Academy, you're going to go into a little bit more depth because you're going to land right in Lumbridge. So it all makes sense to me. This is all about mobile.
So for me, the action bar is to give RuneScape players a service that delivers an efficient action bar according to their level. Does that make any sense?
According to the level of?
Of their combat skills. Attack, strength.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Okay, yeah. Sure.
I can see that.
Yeah. So if we continue on two-hand melee, then the first thing I'm noticing here is that Tuska's Wrath is last, and that there's three empty slots after it. And I know we talked about this pre-show, Shane, so I'm going to ask Tanis, do you know why Tuska's Wrath is last?
Well, I'm actually kind of surprised that ability is on there, given that you have to do some special stuff to get a hold of it. It's not something that a beginning player would have when they walk out of Lumbridge.
Exactly. But do you know why it's last? Why it's not put a bit more forward?
It's got quite a bit of a cooldown on it. It's a one-shot kill, too, so I don't know if that has something to do with it.
Exactly. That's the reason. Okay. Tuska's Wrath deals 10,000% damage according to your Slayer level. So if you are level 10 Slayer, you're dealing 1,000 damage. And that's it's a one-hit kill, because at that stage you're killing zombies and monkeys. And when you are maxed, it can deal up to 15,000 damage in one hit. And thus, this ability is put last by players so that they can time it right and fire it off at the start of an encounter and not when the enemy just has 200 HP left, because then it goes on a 2-minute cooldown. Now, the question I got in my head when I watched this is, why does Jagex put an ability that requires manual input in a Revolution plus plus bar? And why is it empty at the end? And this led up to me going into the RS wiki and finding out that these are identical to the recommended boss given by the RS Wiki community.
Mm-hmm. Now that's something when you think about it.
And that is something you gave me 8 action balls, and I put them together in one picture. All 8, almost all 8, I should say every 2-hand and dual ball that you gave me is a straight copy-paste from the Wikipedia.
Right, so every 2-hand and dual action bar is a straight-up copy, which, I mean, is good, I guess.
No, it isn't. And I will tell you why.
On the picture here, Taiko, dual wield Mali is missing.
Yeah, it was missing. I noticed it late, but we still have a dual wield range and magic.
I will fix that while you're continuing to chat here. I'd also like to ask the question to you guys here. Does anyone ever see when Tuska's Wrath misses?
I've never seen it miss.
I have seen it miss. It has happened to me.
Yeah, that's really annoying, isn't it?
Oh yes. Oh, here comes the heavy hitter, 15K. No, it misses. Especially at Eurots when the defense increase with time.
Yeah.
Oh dear. Anyways, here, for the first thing, it doesn't feel Jagex that they are taking something and copy-pasting. And people might be asking that, Taiko, isn't it just that Jagex added an algorithm or a sequence of orders that led to the same result as their RS Wiki presented? And my answer to that is no. I've also been providing a second picture where I did some testing with a 2-hand melee ball. So in this picture that you're seeing in the video version, we have at the top the pay-to-play action ball for 2-hand melee for a maxed player.
And what do you mean by maxed play? You mean just like maxed combat stats?
Yeah, maxed combat stats.
All right.
Because any other skill doesn't matter. You can be a pure combat and have level 1 in Herblo, and it doesn't matter here. Then I asked the setup bar to give me the bar for a 2-hand melee for a free-to-play. And I got the exact same bar, but with the members' abilities missing, and in this case it's Berserk and Tuska's Wrath. Looking at this from a combat efficiency, it's like the car takes 5 seconds longer to start in the morning. You're getting worried and thinking, maybe it's time to look at it. But it's still working. Now I took this a step further and ask the free-to-play with 46 attack and 30 strength.
Is there any reason you chose 46 and 30?
Because it was the one kind free-to-play I could get that didn't think I were a scammer.
Oh, okay.
Some people are hard to acquire sometimes. the community. But 46 attack and 30 strength, and asked him to use the setup action bar service and get an action ball. And here we see a really big problem. He was given the exact same ball, but before it gave the abilities to him in that order, it removed all the abilities that he couldn't use, which is logical. But it didn't give him any replacement. And as a result of that, we are seeing an action bar that's actually faulty, that is missing a lot of potential abilities, and that is actually dealing worse damage than if you would put 2 of the weakest abilities first and let them run non-stop.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. So in this free-to-play 46 example, what would you put first and second then? Because, I mean, there's a huge gap of abilities you can't use. So, I mean, what are the
Yeah.
options? Like, and
I made an example ball that I put in the picture at the very bottom for a Revolution plus plus. And as we can see in the video version, I feel the whole ball. And if I'm going to explain it for all your
yeah,
listeners,
we got to explain it for the audio listeners.
we gotta explain it. So what I did is I started with an ultimate ability that's overpower. And second, I used the strongest threshold ability that I could use. And I put backhand there because I felt like it. Third and fourth place, we have two, the strongest basic abilities I can use. In this case, dismember and sever. Fifth place, we have another threshold ability. And then from 6 to 9, we have three basic abilities in order of damage output. In this case, smash, fury, and barge. And last place, on the 10th spot, we put slice. Now that gives me 5 spots where I can fill whatever I want. And I actually got inspired from the shield action bars that the setup service gave us. So I put in punish as an extra thing, even though it's not needed. Anticipation, freedom, regenerate, and surge.
And of course,
So
people
here
could
we.
also put their food in there and whatnot as well if they wanted to.
Yeah, of course. The last 5 places of the action bar, people are free to choose to put whatever they have. So the first 10 spots have the damage they need to defeat their enemy. And most important of all, it's in a sequence that can continuously run even if you run away to the bathroom for 10 minutes. And that's very important for new players that doesn't really understand the combat system yet, or maybe wants to Netflix and skill or combat.
All
Maybe
right.
doing an Abyss run. Now, if we go back a bit and look at the action bars the service provides.
Actually, before you do that, I just want to run through
Yeah.
that optimal free-to-play one quickly. So that
Yeah, of
is
course.
overpowered, forceful backhand, dismember,
Yes.
sever. And what's that one with the I?
Slaughter.
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 Okay. And then following that is
Smash.
Smash,
Fury.
Fury,
Barge.
Barge, and then
Yeah, barge.
Slice.
Slice. And then the 5 last I've chosen to put here is punish, anticipation, freedom, regenerate, and surge.
And this is if you are level 46 attack and 30 strength. And I think this is the key point here that we want to make with this right now. Is that looking at this example compared to what Jagex gives, you're missing out on a lot of potential activations and DPS based on this. And for someone who is new coming to the game, someone who is leveling up, and someone who is potentially going to be playing on RS Mobile and using this, this is a big deal.
This is a very big deal. And especially if the action bar given makes you stall in combat. It makes you stand and do nothing because all your abilities are on cooldown when you have abilities available.
Yeah, and from that perspective, it does almost feel as though they copied directly from the wiki and they just extracted for the lower level ones in the example we're giving here, and that's kind of unfortunate because we need this lower tiered combat to be thought of and thought of well because I mean unless they're listening to RSVB update, they're not going to know better when they're first starting out.
Yeah, this is what makes me extremely disappointed because if you look at the difference between the two-hand melee and the melee with shield.
All right.
There's a very big difference. They are on the right path. If we look at melee with shield, they are listing all the basic abilities first. Sever, dismember, fury, backhand, slice, and punish. In a way that Revolution++ could handle very well. Now, unfortunately, also the threshold and ultimates are placed in the middle, and
that's the first thing I noticed about this bar.
Yeah, it can't be reached, so it's not adjusted to just Revolution++, but it is adjusted for Revolution. And I'm actually encouraging this one because it makes the player involved in timing the threshold and ultimates, those game changers that deals high amounts of damage. So I'm so sad to say that they copied the two-hand and dual abilities and the shield bars that doesn't exist on the wiki is, I don't know where they came from, but that's on the right path. And the algorithm isn't hard either to make, because if we just
yeah,
do
and they
what
have
I
all
said
the,
that...
They have all the data inside the game about what the max hits are, the abilities, and whatnot.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. They definitely have it. And we are seeing this with the shield boss, but they just copied from the weekend. I'm not sure it's... One, I want Jagex to succeed, and it's not always they do, but even when they don't succeed, it still works. But I don't feel that this is something Jagex did. The RS Wiki is an open place where everybody can read the information, a library where they can take their work and use it, and nobody can claim that this is really my work. But I don't feel that Jagex have put their stamp on this. Because the one who's getting the full package are the ones who have the level requirements for the full ball, and even then they get 3 empty slots at the end, while the low-level players get the broken part of the deal.
Yep, certainly feels that way. Certainly feels that way. What about the ranged magic ones? How are they? Same case, pretty much.
Yeah, the two-hand range. I'm seeing good things here. One problem though is that range and magic is widely known to have fewer abilities than
yep.
melee, and thus
yep.
is harder to make it continuously going with Revolution
that's
without
why,
stopping.
That's why I don't like using ranged and magic in this combat system unless I absolutely have to, because you know there's just fewer abilities to choose from, and that's kind of dull.
Yeah, exactly. And thus it's more delicate than melee. Looking at the two-hand range, I see that it's gonna stop after some period of time. That dazing shot that's on the keybind at the moment needs to be put more forward, like on the
oh, yeah,
fourth
that,
place.
Yeah, that definitely always happens for me, too. I always move that one much closer.
Yeah. And if we look at the dual-wield range, they did the right thing in putting Needle Strike on the fourth place.
And, you know, if you look at the RS wiki, the dazing shot is in the same position as it is on the two-handed bar right here.
Yeah. And that confuses me a little. And the RS wiki says it's the most optimal, and I'm believing them. I personally don't know why this is the most optimal, and I'm somebody who's famously known in the clan for wanting to customize everybody's action balls, and I've been studying combat theory ever since the World War II. No, sorry, World Event 2.
Since World War II.
The World Event 2. The Bird and the Beast, I mean.
That's great.
I confused. Sorry about that.
I just got to say, your combat there, you got some pretty nice armored vehicles there, Tycho.
Well, it was a huge deal, you know, the whole Galeno were at war. Anyways, that been studying combat series since World Event 2, The Bird and the Beast, and been using adrenaline stalling before it became a big thing in the PVN community.
This what is adrenaline stalling?
So adrenaline stalling is a technique where when you exit combat, you naturally lose adrenaline. Some people use regenerate to heal, but a more efficient way to use it is to save it, to store it. And there is, and how you do that? You use an ability that doesn't require a target, and that is anticipation, freedom, surge, or escape. And by cycling through these in a 10-second cycle, you can, in theory, store your adrenaline and save it for when the next monster spawns.
Or just get a combat dummy from Invention.
Yeah, and that's why it became such a huge thing, because before you had to find a monster, fight it, and then save the adrenaline from it, and now you can just place a dummy. And that just shows how much Jagex is involved with the PVM community. They know the tactics and what they are using. So that's adrenaline stalling, and I strongly recommend to try it and experiment with it. I can say that I did it back in World Event 2, and I used it to rush enemy bases and cast bombardment, ricochet, and a strong threshold and just annihilate enemies. I will just give a quick story. The bandits' headquarters were just by the mind altar. We used a Lumbridge ring to do a cabbage teleport to the Falador cabbage field,
which was close to the Armadillo encampment.
Exactly. And beforehand, we had killed a lot of goblins and Samurak monks, got 100% adrenaline, teleported to the cabbage patch with a full team, rushed the enemy base, boom. And when things get bad, when the enemy sees a group of people come rushing and just annihilating them and starts to fight back, we just use the teleport token to teleport back to the bandits' encampment, or just use a mind alter teleport and boom, you're gone. Gather adrenaline again and repeat. And oh, I love that. I will probably be hated for the rest of they will probably hate me the rest of their lives, but oh, the feeling.
Yeah, and you see, that's the kind of stuff we could look forward to potentially here with PvP, but I don't think there's much PvPing to be done in RuneScape currently. So the sense we get here is that the two-handed and dual-wielding action bars you get from Jagex are good, and if you're a high level, but if you're a lower level, there is stuff to be desired. And I assume it's the same for magic as well?
Yeah, I really love the Dragon's Breath being on first place. It has a low magic requirement and just works well. Same with Combust and Sonic Blast and so on. So it's more manageable than the previous ones, but it still leaves things to be desired. And one of the things I would rather see in this are the defensive abilities like anticipation and freedom that we have on the shield bars. Because even if it's not included in your damage output, it's still something that helps you. And
I mean, there are Slayer creatures where you do need to do that. So
Yes, and it also gets the new player engaged. Like, what does this ability do? When do I need to activate it? That leads them to read the ability, understand what it does, and then find a moment to activate it. And that is how you get a player engaged, by giving them an opportunity to get involved.
Yeah, and you know, I've long been saying with this, and this is a good first step forward to it, but I've long been saying that the root interfaces that you see in game, like the powers interface and whatnot, need to be designed to be more easily accessible and easily understandable, because you see the powers interface and you see all these combat abilities in there, but if you're a new player, you're just gonna be like, whoa, what are these for? What do they do? So on and so forth. But
Yeah, Revolution is a huge help if you don't want to time it, and that's something we should leave to the pro PVMers that wants to activate every single ability at the exact right time. But the player still needs to be engaged in some way. We have both the maximum involvement and the least involvement being the full manual action bar and the legacy mode. But we want to introduce people to the evolution of combat in a way that doesn't make them confused or make them
precisely,
feel
precisely.
overwhelmed with the amount of information of what every ability does and the exact moment to use it.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. All right, so that's the combat tutorial and action bars. They say they give optimal damage per second, but yes, at the higher level, but a little bit iffy at the lower level. And I'll just flash these up here on the screen again. If you're a newer player and you're watching this, you can pay attention to that. And of course, full links to these will be in the show notes. Anything else on the combat action bars before we go, either of you, on to the next patch note?
Not a thing.
I hope they actually need to redo this because at the moment they are giving something broken to the lower levels, and that's something they really want to fix before mobiles comes out.
Well, they just need to get someone that does combat to actually do it. I feel like this is either a checklist item that just needed to get pushed out, so they just went to Wiki and grabbed it, or with someone that wasn't real familiar with combat, or they were only familiar with the higher end combat. Either way, it was kind of lazy.
I
So,
mean, that's too lazy. Look at the
yeah.
melee, all the shield bars for range melee and magic. The thing they did was, well, number one, list the basic abilities in order of damage. Number two, list the threshold abilities in order of damage. Number three, list the ultimates. Fourth place, just anticipation, freedom, and so on. And that is enough. It's a very simple algorithm, and it gets the player involved with the thresholds, and it places the basic abilities in a way that deals good damage. It's not rocket science.
Yeah,
It's not.
you're missing, there's eight abilities missing on the free-to-play one that they give. Eight.
And you know what I bet isn't even on there? How about the new ones that just came out with the Cave Horse? Super low level and free to play.
Yeah,
Well, you need to
I
pay
mean,
to unlock those, and I'm assuming if you don't have
well, that's
Tuska's
true.
Wrath or you don't have unlocked those, then they're not going to put
But
them
you
on
can
there.
buy them, right? I mean, you
Oh
can
yeah,
buy
you can
them.
buy them on the
Yeah,
exchange.
but even then there was a huge problem with them, and that is they are sharing a cooldown with their stunning
Well,
abilities.
yeah.
So, and some of them are even worse because the ranged stuns binds your target for 10 seconds. The
Yeah.
viable ones doesn't do that, and that makes them lose the purpose while you are fighting with range from a long distance.
Yeah,
So
you're right.
I'm sorry, but I think the new abilities aren't just worth it when you can take one step back manually.
No, I think you're right. I mean, this could have and should have been done a little bit better. It's a great idea. It's a good concept. It needs to happen. But it was just, I mean, I don't know. I hate to call it lazy, but it feels that way. And I don't see any other way
to describe it. I would, at the very least, want to see Jagex, a stamp saying Jagex on this, but taking this directly from the RS wiki and then just having the system remove the abilities you can't use, it doesn't feel like it's Jagex work. It's the RS wiki's community's work. Sorry.
Yeah, and then if you don't have the level, just leave those out. That's unfortunate. And maybe Jagex has something to say on this. I'll see if I can reach out to anyone who might have been involved with this and see what the reasoning behind this was. Though it was a patch, so I'm not exactly sure who was responsible for it. But in any case,
we want them to succeed.
That's right. We have many more patch notes this week. So first and foremost, they have added some post-quest rewards to Evil Dave's Big Day Out. And you'll remember when that quest came out, we said that it felt like, oh, there could be some more rewards there. And, well, they have now delivered. So you can now catch hell rats with your bare hands to get spices for spicy stew, because everyone knows we just love sending our cats down there to catch spices.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wow. I could just say wow, because yeah, the cat's been doing all the work. I mean, it's overgrown. I've been feeding it more. I mean, my cats probably have 5 stomachs at this point with the amount of rats I've been feeding it.
That's good, though. Don't underestimate the spicy stew, though. I know a lot of Iron Men that use that in order to be able to do overloads.
Oh, neat. Okay. Mm-hmm. And now also on that, when you eat a spicy stew, you're more likely to get a positive stat boost. And when you do, that boost will be between +2 and +6, because remember, it can also have negative boosts as well. So more likely to be on the positive side of that after completing the quest, keyword there. Examine on the spices caught from hell rats have been updated to tell you what sorts of boosts you can make with them. And, you know, this is good. I remember doing this initially for Recipe for Disaster, and it was supremely annoying. So it's been fixed. Yeah. Very nice.
I'm always a fan when they add information that otherwise can't be found elsewhere. Yep. Otherwise, you just have to ask people or look at the RS wiki.
Boy, I'm sensing a theme of the show here. And perhaps the biggest one is that you can now reclaim Evil Dave's spellbook and use it to chip certain teleport tablets using Evil Dave's unique insight, in quotation marks as they call it, into teleportation. And this has some pretty interesting implications here, and it should get people teleporting around again, because the Ardoin teleport tablet can be chipped to send you to West Ardoin. The Camelot teleport tab to the Catherby docks, and that's really interesting for farming, I think. Better than the lodestone that takes a while to activate. Falador will send you to the south gate of Falador now. Lumbridge 1 sends you to the Lumbridge crater. Varrock will send you to the Varrock Museum. The Watchtower will send you to the observatory as well. So, and you know how hard it is to get to the observatory and how useless the Watchtower teleport seems. So.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I can see clue scrolls being.
Yep, definitely for the observatory one.
And West Ardoin. I mean, how many times haven't I been running over there? Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is for clue scrolls. This is great.
I really like the Camelot Catherby one.
Why?
Farming.
But isn't it, like, further away from...
Yeah, but it'd be quicker than a lodestone.
You're using quick teleport?
No, I don't do that.
Oh.
I was vehemently against the quick teleport option. That was something that was pulled by the players. Lodestones were always meant to be slow. Lodestones should not be fast and should not have a quick teleport option. So I refuse to use that.
Yeah. Damn it.
Hey, and I mean, at least I'm not as pure as Earth, who refuses to use lodestones at all.
It's true.
Well, I actually don't think there would be very much of a difference if they one day remove the lodestone system. Sure, there would be panic the first week, but then people start to realize
that. Oh, yeah, we'd remember how to get around.
Yeah, we are wearing like 6 teleport options on our equipment. I mean, the quiver, the ring, and the amulet. I mean, what more?
People
wear
those?
You take my lodestones, you better give me a horse. Because I'm not walking nowhere. Never again.
What's this horse you're talking about? Is this these hornless unicorns that people
Yeah,
talk?
Yeah, the hornless unicorns. I'll take one of those. Mm-hmm.
I heard that they were all eaten up after people found out they were very tasty.
Horse meat is apparently very lean.
Mm-hmm. Full stringy, but you know.
Yeah, that's right. This kind of goes back to the kangaroo meat discussion. Oh, and I did get a I did talk with Parnassius in the chat about this from last week, and he said kangaroo meat is actually eaten there, except it's not a nice meat. You're going to get much better, you know, from a cow or from pork or even deer venison. And kangaroos are actually thought of as pests in Australia.
What? No. Oh,
well, that's cool to know, though. I mean, at least now I know I can eat a kangaroo, and that's fine.
Yep.
So it's like poor man's meat.
Yeah, yeah. Like, it's not a good quality meat. But you can eat it.
Well, there you see. You learn something every day.
Yeah.
There you go.
All right. So I like those teleports in there as something that were mentioned and you know, I think Sirion actually went out there and had a look at these, so that's where that came from.
Cool.
Also, some improvements have been made game-wide to interfaces and specifically the Make X interface. Once again, you know, preparing interfaces for mobile and whatnot. I think they look relatively the same. I can't even remember what the old ones look like, so that kind of tells me it was a refinement and there's not too much to write home about here. But I will say that they do actually look better in the legacy skin, because I do use the legacy interface skin. I just find the brown easier to read stuff on, so easier to see the bank as well. But yeah, looks good largely. Now onto the actual patch notes this week, which are also tiny here. So a scroll bar no longer occasionally appears in the inventory when in the legacy interface mode. I've never seen it, but who knows? It might
never seen it.
Yeah, I've never seen that legacy interface mode. Though it might be actually talking about not just the skin of it, but the actual legacy interface that's fixed. The constitution level of food has been added to its tooltip.
Finally.
Now, do you guys remember in the EOC beta that they actually had this in game for a bit?
No, I don't.
Yes.
Because
yes,
when EOC first came out, and you know, when it was level 200 combat, the level of the piece of food that you would use was governed based on your constitution level, how much it would heal. So the tooltip showed the constitution level of the food that was optimal and how much it would heal. And now we're back to having this constitution level of food to it. I don't see why.
It doesn't change with your level.
Yeah, it doesn't change anymore.
Maybe it's just like a recommendation. Like if you're in the level, like for example, if you have sharks, maybe it's recommending that you should be using shark at level 80 constitution.
Yeah.
Versus,
or 92 for rocktail when you reach its peak.
I mean,
I know at lower levels, there is a cap of how much you can eat heal per bite. So a shark will heal as much as a lobster in the very early levels. And you can see it in that the amount of healing that says in the tooltip is in yellow is if it's not up to the maximum potential. But I never known what level.
What? This is still a thing? Food still scales based on your constitution level?
You can only heal for a maximum amount of, for a certain amount of HP.
At that constitution level. I thought that was your move.
No, it's been live. I have a questing account, and
I could have sworn this was removed when combat went back to 138.
Okay, because I have a questing account, and lobsters healed as much as swordfish. And you can see that by the, as I said before, the healing, the tooltip of the amount of healing is in yellow if it's not up to the maximal amount. And otherwise, it will be green.
All right, then that makes sense. See, I was under the impression that this feature was gone entirely from gaming.
Yeah, I thought so too.
Scaled. No, I guess okay. I guess that's a drawback of being level 99 Constitution.
But don't you have an alt version, an alt farmer?
I cannot confirm or deny that.
Yeah, it's an Iron Man.
I cannot confirm or deny that.
Okay.
You confirmed it on the show, Shane.
I don't think I did.
You did. You did.
I
Trust
did?
Me.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oops.
I was actually on it, so I remember that.
All right.
This guy didn't.
I thought that was still a secret. Oh, the name is a secret. The name is a secret. Yes. Right. Right.
Oh.
All right.
Moving on.
Two-handed and dual-wield icons on the tooltips in the magic ability book now displays magic rather than melee.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's been like that for a long time, and you know, it's good to clear that away. Fixed an issue where Scrimshaw could be activated and deactivated to preserve charges. I wonder who discovered that one.
Well, I shouldn't say I have been messing around with it, but ever since they removed the 10-second cooldown between deactivating it, there have been instances where I have been activating and deactivating my Scrimshaw of Corruption wrongly, so I would not get the bonus Slayer XP when on task, but I wouldn't get any drop either. So it would. So it's possible to turn it on and off in between to get a certain mixed up effect.
All right. The options to disable specific chat windows from the chat settings interface have been removed, and the chat windows can instead be closed as normal and reopened from the ribbon. They're available on a mouse over of the social window, as well as possibly set to a custom ribbon.
How do we find this?
Huh?
This is something that, in my view, has been a long time coming and should have been in game since the very beginning. Because, you know, it doesn't make sense that all the chat windows in the game, you had to go into some submenu to close them. Whereas every other window on the interface, you could just click the X. About time.
Yep. Yep.
I'm very happy with this.
I believe you.
And, I mean, it just gives that extra level of customization for chats that you don't need. This basically means right now at this point that I have my public, which is a catch-all for everything, my friends chat, my clan chat, and that's it. Oh, and the private chat. So, finally.
Mm-hmm.
The keybind for searching in the Grand Exchange has been changed from enter to spacebar, in case anyone was trying to figure out why they can't press enter to start searching. Well, this is it, and you know, it probably would have been a good idea to highlight this on the front page of the news post. You can now once again use the chat box while in the Grand Exchange, and the enter button will work as a keybind to enable use of the chat box, which I think makes sense as to why they would put this up here, right? So that's
cool. Yeah, I've been mixing up them up more times than I want to admit.
Yeah. The tier 6 Zephyrium arrows in the smuggler's shop within a dungeon have been increased slightly to bring them in line, up from 293 to 515 GP each. For some reason, they were cheaper than the tier 5 fractite arrows, which remained the same at 396 GP.
Oops.
Yeah. I mean, at least it's not ultra high tier like tier 9 or something like that.
Oh, no, it's not.
Yeah. You can now also deactivate auras from the equipment screen while within the bank. That's good. I know that was an issue before. You have to close the bank and start over all again if you're changing outfits, so I like this change.
Yeah.
Renamed all Blessed Dragonhide armor items from Treasure Trails to better reflect that they're actually Blessed Dragonhide. They are now named Blessed Dragonhide Armor God, being, you know, Zaro, Saradomin, Zamorak, so on and so forth. The circus barkers have been retired and will no longer appear around the world to announce the location of the circus.
Oh, dear.
You got a friend's chat for that?
Yeah, there is probably a friend's chat for that. And I want to say you can also access it from the...
diversion, minigame and diversion tab, where it says the location.
Yes, and there's also a teleport button there.
Yep.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
And it even gives you a trail to the circus. So you click on the teleport button, takes you to the closest lodestone, and even adds a trail directly to it. So no friends chat needed.
Yeah. And cool. I mean, they rotate between various ones. You can find it in Trinome Village, Sears Village, Catherby, Taverly, Edgeville, Thalador, Rimington, Drainer, Alcarid, Lumberyard, and Gertrude's area. So, I mean, they're going to be everywhere in the world. I feel like I was, you know, just announcing our RSBNB update tour dates or something.
Are we going on tour, Shane?
Yeah, we definitely could. We definitely could.
The road show.
Players can now hide their username while logging in, and this option is located beside the Remember Me checkbox above the password entry form.
Wow. This is huge.
You know, it is huge. And I just want to show this off here because, you know, it's good. For people who are using an email address and might be, you know, streaming or something like that and don't want to reveal that. But at the same time, it feels like with this update here, the proportions for this box now are completely out of whack. And, you know, once again, I feel like that's kind of a mobile thing. Because if you look at this, it's almost as though the text boxes have been stretched to a point where they're just going to expand to fill however the outside box is. And I mean, I don't know. It just doesn't feel right to have a remember username and hide password button or hide username right next to each other. But I mean, if people wanted that, I guess that's a thing. So there it is right there.
I mean, people are not always on their own computer. And as you said,
yeah, that's another
thing. Streamers that don't want to give their username, because for some evil people that live out there, knowing the username is half the work. And for people who don't have authenticator, which you should have, you really should have that. I'm telling you all right now.
There's no reason not to today.
Yeah.
We've even gone through how to do it on Windows or Linux here.
Oh, yeah. So this is a good option to give that a little edge that could keep your account a bit safer when you are not on your own computer or when you are streaming. So this is a huge thing for those.
Yeah. Next up, players who don't have the oddball aura will no longer have it appearing on their right-click favorite menu for auras. And remember, the oddball aura is the one that makes your dwarf cannon fire random things.
Beer, cabbages.
Yeah.
I think there was a raccoon also.
Yeah. Now, also with this, additionally, you'll no longer get false information if using the same client for multiple accounts that have different versions of the same aura. This, in part, caused the bug where the oddball aura was appearing when it shouldn't have been.
I have no idea how that is possible.
Exactly. And, I mean, to me, if I had to take a quick guess at this, you know, when you send things like this to the client to generate these lists, these are things that are, you know, not mission critical compared to, you know, what a bank might be or, you know, stats on an item. So they're not cached. Whereas something like the aura list can be cached. And then when the player opens up the interface, you can refresh that cache. But in some cases, if you look at the favorites list and you have different data inside there from a different RuneScape client, maybe, just maybe, that could have been causing this. So that would be my guess on this.
All right.
So that's it for the patch notes this week. Not too much in them. Fairly lean for a patch week. You guys ready to move on to Master Skill Cape perks?
For sure.
All right. So, you know, they did put out this news post here. Ideas wanted Master Skill Cape perks. They were initially going to poll whether or not to do this update. Numerous surveys have, you know, given, they say, up to 62% of the player base wanting this, so they just decided, hey, we're going to do this, and this is a decision we're making internally. So, now, they say, adding ultra-desirable perks at virtual level 120s is moving the goalposts too far, so we will be limiting these perks to be utility-focused. I think that's good. I think that allays a good chunk of my fears about this and making it so that, okay, there's now something at level 120 mining that everyone's going to get to, even though our skills are not going to 120 mining. I would still be in favor of having the actual skills go to 120, but that's a topic for another day. So with that,
yeah, I'm also, just quick note, I'm also concerned when Jagex have their content limited at 99, but still have rewards for 120. That's
A little bit odd.
Odd topic for another day.
So the idea behind this is that they're going to look at the existing 99 skill cape perks within the game and improve those that are underwhelming. They're also going to be using in-game data to see the frequency at which each perk is used, but they're also going to be interested in getting feedback. So they want people to know which ones you'd like us to see some extra love. I'm just going to say it right now. The mining cape perk, which effectively acts as goldsmithing gauntlets, the way the mining and smithing update is looking right now, and, you know, just the way mining is in game right now, and specifically smithing in general, we don't need a +2 mining boost for the mining cape perk, and we don't need the effect of goldsmithing gauntlets for the smithing cape at level 99. Those are the two that stick out most to me.
Yep.
Not the agility one, when you can have a chance of getting double tickets at the Bloomhaven.
Okay, that's also there. That one's also pretty bad.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. I mean, and crafting, I'm not a skiller, but having the capes perks remove the need for thread when making leather, it sounds convenient, but I would say crafting too.
No. Okay, let's just have a look at these and go through some of these really quickly here in terms of the perks. So we already said agility, that's bad. One needs to be changed. Attack gives a 2% chance for degradable items not to degrade.
That's super good. I mean, that's one of the best perks, and PVM must put them on the max capes, so that's a really good one.
Constitution doubles the life point restore of regeneration while not in combat.
It can be used by tanks that keep stacking regeneration, and just having it as a normal PVM doesn't do anything, so it's more of a specialist case.
All right. Construction reduces the cost of creating planks by 10%.
Money making.
Yeah, I think that one's okay. Cooking cape prevents all food from being burnt.
Super good with fishing frenzy.
Definitely.
What am I saying in the deep sea hub?
Sailfish.
Yeah, sailfish, exactly.
Crafting, you guys would like to see be reworked. Defense acts as a sign of life.
Oh, that one's my favorite.
Favorite. Okay. Oh, yes.
Divination gives a chance to save divination ingredients when weaving energy.
Money making, I would say.
Meaningless.
All right. Dungeoneering cape teleports to any resource dungeon.
Second
Super
best.
Good. Yeah. All right. Very good.
I like the farming cape. Chance of harvesting all remaining resources from a crop. That one's good.
Would never have guessed that.
Yeah. The fire making cape provides the ability to light an elder log fire that does not leave ashes at your current location.
What does that matter?
What? Exactly. Why? Why, Tanis? Why do I need a fire?
It does not give experience.
Right, I don't know. I'm confused. I don't know what's going on anymore.
You know, we can. I got an idea. We can make it this a party trick. What if this skill cape made a 9x9 square of fires around you in different colors? The best cape for parties.
I think you would be illustrating the usefulness of the fire-making skill with that.
You know, a meaningless skill perk on a meaningless cape on a meaningless skill. Eh, it all works. That's just like, I don't know. You know what? It would be just as effective as when you click on your cape, you got a spit to roast your rabbit on, you know, because we all do that.
Or so your kangaroo.
Often. Yeah, your kangaroo.
No, yeah. But I still think just add some color fire lighters, make it a 9x9 or maybe 10x10. Wow. And just light the place up.
That's lit, fam.
Yeah, or how about let's increase the chance of getting a pitch can when you're down it.
Ooh, that'd be good.
Yeah, right?
High five, Tycho.
Yeah, let's pitch
High
that five, to Tycho. Jagex.
Okay, you obviously didn't listen to last week's show then yet.
Yeah, I did.
Busted.
All right, fishing. The cape provides a chance to gain an additional catch. No XP given.
Yeah, it's okay. Good.
Fletching, 5% chance to automatically string a bow when making unfinished bows.
It's good for those who want to continue to want 120 and 200 million.
No.
Tanis?
I don't know anyone that would. If you're stringing bows going to 120.
That's like, what I was going
to
say.
You're doing it wrong. I hate to be like that, but you're doing it wrong. You're just doing it wrong. I'm sorry.
Herblore.
Instantly clean creamy herbs. This is a money-making and time-saver.
Yeah, that's good, except yeah. I don't know if this would be too powerful, but I would love it if it were noted.
That'd make it better. Yeah.
It could be too powerful because then I could see PVMers carry it around all the times to note all the herbs.
No. It wouldn't note the herbs. It would just clean a stack of dirty noted herbs. You know, like I come back from a farming run and I got 75 herbs that are noted and dirty. Rather than dumping them into my bank 28 at a time, pulling them out and using the cape to clean it.
Just clean them all in one go. Well, the problem with that is I can put an offer on the GE and get like 50,000 creamy herbs.
Oh, right. And then you make money from that.
Just instantly. It's not even work behind it.
All right, fair enough. Well, let's leave it as it is then. Hunter gives the Herblore habitat vine blossoms the effect of a Juju Hunter potion when activated. That's good if you do Herblore habitat.
No, that sucks. And you shouldn't do that anymore. Once again, if you're using Herblore habitat to train your hunter, you're doing it wrong.
Oh, okay. I was thinking of using Herblore habitat to go farm my own seeds and whatnot for Juju farming potions.
I suppose, but it seems ineffective to me. Okay. But yeah.
All right. So that one is on the list then, Herblore.
Mm-hmm.
Invention, 2% charge drain rate reduction, which stacks multiplicativity over other reductions. I think that one's good.
Yeah, that one's good.
Yeah, that's really great. People who do are using augmented items always want change drain reduction.
Magic allows you to change your spell book at banks. That's useful.
Yeah, very useful.
Mining plus 2 mining levels. That's useless. That needs to be changed. Prayer provides the effect of having two lit incense burners without having to light them without or when offering a bone on a POH altar.
Outdated.
Yeah, I mean, it's okay if that's the style of training you're doing. It's just that, I don't know.
I would rather see a huge prayer bonus on the cape. I mean, for an example, we have the Dragon Rider cape that gives a huge prayer bonus. I mean, just put this skill cape, just a +7 prayer bonus on it, and I'm very happy.
Yeah, I think you're right. A bonus would be nice, and probably a little bit more useful.
Yeah.
All right. Ranged acts as a full, fully upgraded Ava's device.
Yeah, useful before you get them. Actually, no. Wait. If you have Ava's alerter, then I think, then Ava's alerter has a higher stats than the ranging cape, but. And when you are doing magic and melee, you don't need it.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, it's okay if you want to throw it on a max cape, though, because the max doesn't have it as like the comp does. The comp is just included, but not on the max.
That's actually the perk I miss for my completionist cape. I don't have it anymore ever since 120 Slayer. It's just because it's gives back my bolts. Just that one perk. People might call me crazy, but it's what I want my comp cape for.
All right. Rune crafting reveals a third random rune when you use the Rune Goldberg machine.
That's really useful.
Yeah, it's really nice.
Yeah. All right. Slayer provides the ability to teleport to all available Slayer masters.
Slayer Helm does that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Goldsmithing gauntlets. Yeah, we said we that's useless. That needs to be higher for 99. Strength causes dismember's damage over time to last an additional 2 seconds.
I know somebody in the clan who says that is overpowered.
It makes dismember the strongest
basic melee ability.
Yeah, I've heard that same argument before. I don't necessarily agree, but numbers wise, maybe. But I think it's fine.
Yeah, I think that one fine as well. And you know, just based on looking quickly at what we did earlier with Dismember, I would agree with that. That's actually a pretty powerful perk. Summoning provides a chance to not consume a charm when infusing summoning pouches.
Yeah, summoning pouches is something people continue to do after 99 for skilling or combat reasons. So I think this one is fine as it is.
Well, it's kind of like having the gems, the spirit gems on you.
Oh, yeah.
It does also stack with spirit gems.
Oh, that's a decent one. I mean, it's not bad.
Yeah. Thieving reduces the duration for which you're stunned from 4.2 to 3 seconds.
I haven't used it, but I can imagine it being quite useful.
Now, woodcutting increases the chance to receive a bird's nest or crystal geode. That's good. You can stack it with the rabbit's foot. And nice. And finally, the quest point cape adds 30 seconds of time onto Tears of Gothix.
I like that one.
Yeah, that's good. All right, so that's our current rundown of the skill cape perks. Largely good, but I think the biggest ones that we looked at just on this list here that need to be perhaps adjusted are agility, crafting, fire making, fletching, hunter, mining, prayer,
maybe Slayer because maybe, it has maybe the Slayer same kind of effect duplicated. As this Slayer helm.
Definitely smithing. And that's about it. So I just was quickly rerunning over the list there of skill cape perks. So if anyone's listening, there's our input, and I will, of course, send that off to the appropriate powers that be as well when we start talking about this or when it's time. So now, when it comes to ultimate perks, how far do you guys think they should go when it comes to utility perks? What would you guys like to see as a utility perk for your favorite 120? Let's not go through all of them, but just say your favorite. So,
well, what do they mean by utility perk?
Well, here's what they say. These perks will be more utility focused, and this means that these perks should not be significantly affected the GP or XP per hour rates. Examples could include 120 agility granting unlimited run, or 120 construction allowing your butler to hold more items. Those are the examples that they gave. And in the case that a skill is changed from 99 to 120 at a later date, such as Slayer, the perk will be redesigned to accommodate any changes that occur within that skill expansion.
Okay.
If I would pick one, that would be Prayer, because it was my first 99. I mean, I'm still for a Prayer bonus, because at this point of the game, we have pretty good Prayer alternatives, the best one currently being a Dragon Rider armor with the body giving a plus 10. And then we have a lot of other options, and as popular the Crystallize and the Light Form Prayers are, and some other stuff. I think it's more than fair than having a huge Prayer bonus on top of it. And that's not something that affects GP per hour, I think. Or maybe if you account the less amount of Prayer potions you need to use. But more Prayer to the Prayer cape.
All right. For me, when it comes to 120 farming, the best and, you know, the best thing I would like to see at 120 would, and you know, this might increase XP per hour, so you can shoot this one down if you really have to, would be a decreased chance of disease.
That'd be cool. I don't see that being too much to ask for.
And failing that, if decreased chance for disease is too much, the ability to use the cape or use its ability on a patch and cure disease without needing a cure disease potion. Because let's be honest, carrying those around at 120 is a pain in the butt.
Yeah.
I got an idea. What about that if you find a dead patch that you can replant it without the need of new seeds?
Well, that's saving a lot of money given the fact that a magic seed is going for... Let's see, what is a magic seed going for?
Oh.
Magic seed is currently going for about 100K.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you're actually right. That would be... If you buy a magic seed and then have that perk, then it's guaranteed to give you... Yeah, give you the XP. It's just a matter of time and how many times it dies along the way.
Yeah. How about you, Tanis?
You know, this is kind of hard for me, just because I don't have a lot of 120s. The only virtual 120 I have is Prayer. And I guess maybe the ability, see, it's so hard because it affects everything we do affects either GP or XP. So it's really, hard, you know, because I was thinking, you know, speed up the Gilded Altar process, but that would speed up XP, so I guess that doesn't work. I would almost have to just say that it should have a Prayer bonus on that cape as well. And there's I just can't think of anything. Just can't think of anything else.
I can think of the defense cape, because as it is right now, for every 10 defense level you have, you get 1% damage reduction. Hopefully I say this right. So at 99 defense, you have 9.9% damage reduction. The 120 defense perk could be giving you that 0.1%, so it's 10%. Well, actually, I will let the balancing be done by Jagex, because if they see it efficient enough, maybe they could boost it up to maybe a 5% damage reduction. That would be pretty huge for tanks.
So just make it a 10% damage reduction. Yeah. Because, well, see, the issue with that is that kind of cuts into the reason of shielding, because if you look at the way shields were designed in EOC, they were designed specifically to reduce damage. And if you can do that with a cape, then you're kind of throwing away the purity of Evolution of Combat, let's say.
I think the other one that I could maybe get behind or go for would be I don't know if this works because it's not a virtual, but like 120 Slayer, I think it would be cool if you had like a reduced cooldown for Tuska's Wrath, something that you actually use while you're doing Slayer. That might be cool.
Ooh.
Like, I think it should be something that you actually do while you're
Something
training
useful.
The skill. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I just came to think of one. What if 120 construction would let you summon an estate agent anywhere? That doesn't affect GP. It lets you decorate your house on the go, and it's useful.
How many times have you used the estate agent, though?
I'm not into Fashionscapes. I'm not going to answer that.
And see, there's my question.
Why?
I'm just trying
felt
to think.
Like,
here.
Oh, this could be. If we
did this for 120 Herblar, chance to make an extra potion and send it to the bank. We already got that. I mean, yes, it's one potion, so I mean, why not? Right? It's already in game.
But at the same time, it needs to feel like a something.
Yeah, they need to feel
like you're
something.
Getting
that's,
something.
That's for
you
sure,
know?
Definitely. Oh, hey, what do you know? You go to the thread here about these skill cape perks, and they link it directly to the RS wiki.
Do they think?
Oh, wow.
I don't know.
Are we uncovering something? Is this a scoop?
here's some examples of perks here. Agility, teleport to any agility course for 120. Attack, item degradation, save chances increased to 5%. Constitution allow regeneration in combat and double the base regeneration as the current 99 perk does. Cooking prevents food from burning and provides the Wyco grill effect of 5% chance to double resource cooked will be sent to bank for all types of food cooked. Magic, configure the cape to switch to any four elemental runes and provide an infinite amount of one chosen elemental rune while it's worn.
That'd be cool.
That is a huge GP effect, though, given that fire runes at one point did spike up to close to 100 GP. They're currently 71 GP each. So,
see, all the good ones have an effect on one thing or another.
I mean,
that's kind of the whole definition of it being good. Like, it's going to affect something like that. I mean, okay, agility, yeah, that sounds cool, but are you ever going to catch... You going to catch my ass on an agility course at 120? No. Never, ever again.
No, it would be rather as the dungeoneering cape perk that you use it to teleport around. I mean, skipping the lodestones and just use it to, I don't know, farming runs?
Yeah, I mean, the dungeoneering perk, the way it is pretty good, but like, if we're talking... See, I don't know. At 120, now we could be opening up something for the elite dungeons. You get a little bit of a bonus in there.
Now there's an idea.
Something like that, you know?
Yeah.
Extra tokens or something, you know? Something like that.
This is tricky. I can understand why they are putting this out to the community, because this is a lot of brain power.
Yeah, and you know, we don't even know exactly what we're after here more. So anyways, yeah. So there's a discussion going on, and there's our thoughts on it, and specifically which ones should be reworked, and a couple of our initial ideas going forward. So before we move on to the month ahead post, I will just say that they did do a live stream this week regarding the Elite Dungeons and showcasing some of the art and concepts that went into that, and a quick little run through of the dungeons, showing how they're coming along. There really wasn't too much else mechanic wise released on this week, so I know you guys are both really excited about this and seeing what ends up happening here.
Yeah, I mean, I am excited about it. It didn't really like increase the hype for me or you know, learn anything new, but you know, it's cool to see. They're coming along, and what I think I took away from it more than anything is they're coming along. We're gonna see these probably before we know it.
Yeah,
like it's going to be here.
And that was the sense here, is that, you know, this was initially supposed to be a bottle project using assets that were already in place in game. But Mod Osborne saw what they were doing and decided that they should indeed make some new assets for it. So that was the initial delay on this. They started on this in December, and here we are. And they did say that after the first one is complete, it will be a lot easier to develop the second and third ones, and potentially other ones based on the reception that is received here.
And yeah, that could potentially be a project in making dungeons around RuneScape, I mean, explorable. I mean, imagine if we can make explorable dungeons. This may be the
Are you proposing making dungeons great again?
I mean, I don't understand, like, for example, the underground pass not having a dungeoneering requirement. And I think, actually, people are probably going to hate me for this.
It came out 6 years before. New Chaos.
Why can't the Varrox sewers and the Hill Giant dungeon have a level 5 dungeoneering requirement? I mean, connect dungeoneering in Diamondheim to real caverns in RuneScape that people use.
Yeah. And also, while we're on this, it was 8 months ago, this past April 12th, 2 weeks ago, that Dungeoneering came out.
Ooh. I still remember when I took the Fremenicht longboat to Daemonheim and just walked up those stairs and had this epic soundtrack, Born to Do This, playing in my headphones. Oh, such a good moment.
Yeah, I remember thinking, oh, this is kind of cool. And then not
seeing,
very much later.
And
yes.
Then seeing you needed a group of people to do it, and
yes,
people
exactly.
In the community who were going to do it were going to be idiots.
Exactly. That sums up my experience 100%.
I actually think that dungeoneering is, for me personally, one of the biggest examples that you can enjoy it if you find the right method. Because there's always something in RuneScape that you hate. It can be something like the repo title, or as I heard from both of you, it can be about a certain, some adventurers in a swamp that need some escorting, that wants to go from point A to point B. And I personally know that it's very frustrating if you don't know the most efficient method. And I can reveal for those listening that you gain a lot of levels if you tank the enemies that you encounter on your path and let your NPC fight them, because they get XP per hit and not per enemies defeated. And they rank up really fast. But
oh, so that's who told me that. I knew someone told me that, but I couldn't remember who.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
Oh, I did that after the podcast. Anyways, it's Daemonheim and Temple Taking are both very huge examples for me that tasks can be really long and you can really hate them passionately if you are not knowing what you are doing. And that applies to many real life scenarios as well. I mean, if you're bad at singing or writing a report, maybe that's not because it's a bad thing, but because you don't know how to do it right. And of course, real life has a limited time. You have your hobbies, you have your interests. So, but don't give up on things you think you're bad at. Maybe it's just you need an advice from somebody. And that's why we have clans such as Clan Quest or the RSBandB friends chat.
Nice plug, Tycho. Nice plug. Mm-hmm. So,
yes, thank you. Very good.
If you guys want to see more of this video, you can find it in the show notes at update.rsbnb.com. There we go again, to this week's live stream. So lots of good concept art and a preview of what the dungeon's going to look like in here. So we'll leave it at that. Moving on, we have the month ahead for May that came out today, even though May doesn't start until Tuesday. That was surprising to me. So May, it'll be an interesting month. We got Solak coming out. That one should be interesting to play with, seeing exactly what...
Who are we going to play with? Because I'm going to walk in there and die.
Yeah, yeah, we're kind of working on a plan for that at the moment. But I mean,
I'm going to give it my best, but I'm going to die.
It is a duo mode, so just go with Shane. I mean, plans are his speciality.
Yeah.
You know, Shane is an expert. He knows every plant, every single living being on this planet. He knows his stuff. Right, Shane?
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. So you're in good hands. You got to get some good green fingers out of this.
If I walked in there with Shane, he would push me in front of Solak as he ran the other direction so that I was eight first. Like, there's no... I don't think that's a good idea.
Dimension of the damn déjà vu.
I guess karma's a bitch.
Oh, dimension of the damned. I almost forgot about that.
You're right, though.
So in addition to Solak, they're bringing out something called Overgrown Idols, and they're saying it isn't a talent show for hairy people. It's a new woodcutting training method at level 81 and a welcome alternative for those who need a break from choking ivy. The idea is you'll travel to Karamja, where idols of the lost Karamjan gods are in ruin, overgrown with plants from the forest. Chopping them will reveal the idols underneath, which you can receive boosts to your woodcutting abilities. It's up to you. Bring those boosts to other woodcutting methods or benefit from them at the overgrown idols. So this is kind of, I guess, kind of like a familiarization for woodcutting, except with XP on it.
Yeah.
It sounds more like a semi-AFK method. I mean, ivies are almost fully AFK, and with these idols sounds a little bit more active, that you uncover an idol, you get the boost, you move to the next idol, you get another boost, and maybe you can stack them, and like Fishing Frenzy, but more drawn out. I see potential here.
Yeah, that makes sense. Next up,
I say you get your boost and you head to the Ark. You cut some bamboo.
Oh yeah, you real can XP. Do that. Oh yes, so you can make it like a farming run. You do a couple of trips, like Ark idols, Ark again idols, and then maybe move to an elder tree. Who knows?
Neat. Next up is a rather mysterious quest. It's a bottle quest that they have kept a little mysterious. As mentioned earlier, it does have roots in the earth, but we thought we would pass over to a character from the quest for a better description. And this says, "Oh dear, you seem to have handed me the reins to the month ahead, an unwise move. Know this, reader, in May you are mine. You are in debt, and I will come to collect. You can do what all the adventurers do and try to talk, puzzle, or fight your way out of it. But this little quest is different. It's not someone else who is in trouble. It's this quest, you are the one in distress. You are it."
You know what the first thing I thought about when I read this?
What?
Broken Home 2.
Oh, hell no.
And that is because the very last thing, you are it. Have you seen the movie It, the horror movie?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't seen the new one. I've seen the old one.
Okay. You get what I mean? You get it?
It better not be. There's no way. There's no way. It couldn't be that fast.
Oh, my God.
This was pulled, and it was at the very bottom of the list.
Yeah.
There may be an Overlord Raven who wants his doings in this. But another thing that it could be, because it says that it has its roots in the earth, could be Elemental Workshop 5 with nature and armor.
No.
I will laugh.
That's not a short quest.
I will laugh if I have talked this quest into existence. All the other Elemental Workshops are short, Tannis.
If you talk this quest into existence.
Have just been had really difficult puzzles to them.
Welcome to Orisband B After Night. This time, Tannis Knight's Mayor.
I want to just take a quick look at the actual behind-the-scenes video here, because there's something rather interesting. I don't know if this is intentional or not. Let me just play it for a moment here.
Oh, dear. Have I interrupted your precious...
This is regarding the quest.
...mentioned earlier, benefit from them at the Idols. Our next update is a bottle quest that we have kept a little mysterious. Now, as mentioned earlier, it does have its roots...
Oh dear, have I interrupted your precious motherhead? How will you ever forgive me? Well, know this, video watcher. In May, you are mine. You are in debt and I will come to play. You can do what all adventurers do and try to talk, puzzle, or fight your way out of it. But this little quest is different. It's not someone else who is in trouble. In this quest, you are the one in distress. You are it.
Hopefully that gives you at least a smidgen of an idea of what to expect. Sounds good, eh?
Still vaguely in the plant theme is parcels from the hedge because, you know, hedges.
So that's something that community gonna look really closer at.
You know, I'm thinking Virago Quest. Well, I wondered that. I wondered that at first, but after listening to it, I think Tycho could be right. He could be right. And if it's a broken home too, that just
broken
home too doesn't make sense because it does have its roots in the earth.
Well,
and Virago is linked to the anima, which is on the earth.
It could
or
be,
in the earth.
But you are in debt and I come to collect. I mean, we aren't in debt.
To Virago because Virago dealt the final blow to Tuska.
Yeah, you're right. Oh, it makes sense now. Okay, yeah. It makes sense. I think we got it. We got it here. Anyways, I also want to say something that maybe break your heart, Shane.
Okay.
That is that Modraven has confirmed that it's not Elemental Workshop 5.
Oh, thank goodness.
He has confirmed it, and it's also confirmed it's not the Rite of Passage.
Yeah, well, I think we know that much.
Yeah,
but, you know, people go around speculating. A lot of things, I mean, I'm speculating about Broken Home too, and I know a lot of people are going to get behind their blankets just hearing about it, but who knows?
My money's on Virago.
It makes sense, and I'm just going to keep on with Broken Home 2 just for the fun of it, but you're making a fair point.
All right.
I'm going to go out on a limb here and predict a sequel to the... what was the quest that we planted the jade vine in and we had to fight it?
Oh, Back to My Roots.
Back to My Roots, too.
It could be that, too. Oh, definitely.
All right. Also this month, Parcels from the Hedge, which is basically throughout the month of May, Parcels from the Hedge delivers a parcel from a well-known character in RuneScape direct to your backpack. And if you're lucky, you'll receive something highly desirable from your favorite quest characters. This is an event in the vein of an advent calendar, but for those who like a daily treat instead.
Didn't they just say they would remove Dailyscape?
Yeah, and I mean,
yeah,
it's
but
not,
you don't have to do anything for it.
Yeah, you don't have to do anything for it, and I assume you'll be able to log in just like the Christmas Advent calendar and get it all at the end if you wanted to. It's basically an advent calendar for spring.
Okay, yeah, true. Yeah. No work behind it.
Ninja-wise, after the in-game poll, May sees the release of some of the winning options. Includes Waterfall Fishing Teleport Crystal. Ugh. An all-in-one God Soul Stone that allows you to store kill counts to access boss rooms of your choice. And perhaps for Tears of Guthix, similar to Old School's improvements, they're planning to make streams last longer and to have fewer delays when you move from one to another. And adding some Corrupted Slayer helmet improvements to make them the item for catching souls. And you have a top munch ninja month.
Oh, that sounds really nice, actually.
Yeah, it does.
In favor of that.
Yeah, those are good ninja fixes. Also, the Cherry Blossom Rune Coin bundle, that'll be available starting on May 21st. And the idea behind this it's not linked with Gilanor in giving. That was my mistake. But Gilanor giving 3 is also happening this month for Mental Health Awareness Week from May 14th to the 20th, and there'll be an event similar to the previous Gilanorian givings. So,
I really like these givings.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we got for the month of May.
Yeah.
So I'll agree on the Viraco quest.
I'm going back to my roots too.
I want to stick with the Broken Home 2 because of the approach they chose to do this with this mysterious voice and the last sentence, you are it. So, but you make a fair point, Shane, but I'm going to stick with what I have chosen.
Alrighty then. We're going to move on to...
This will be interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Indeed it will. We're going to move on to questions right now, but first, just a reminder that you can catch the Weekly Bite every Monday, your rundown of patch notes and the pertinent information for the week about the week's RuneScape updates. You can find that at youtube.com/rsbnb, and we try to get that out every Monday for you guys, unless there's a bank holiday or something in the UK. All right. So,
wait a minute. Let me just check something. Isn't it a bank holiday?
There's one on the 7th.
Monday? Okay, never mind then.
Yeah, we do have safe cracking coming this week, fingers crossed.
Ooh.
Oh, I thought that would hit in May.
All right, so on to Parnassius's discussion question.
G'day guys, it's Parnassius, back with a discussion question for you this week. With the new farming update proposal, do you think this could be developed as a new elite skill, as Tanis named it last week, called ranching? We could have the requirements of 80 in farming, construction, and perhaps herb lore. So you could have to make your own farming houses, barns, etc., do all the fencing and such around it. Or should it be just taking farming to that next level of 120? So you do regular farming up to 99, and then this new farm goes from 99 to 120. Love to hear your thoughts and discussions on this topic. Also, one thing last week that did surprise me was both of you hating the idea of post-99 quests. I thought it was an absolutely fabulous idea and just has another target for why to get a 99 on a skill and just adds a bit more prestige to those capes. Love to hear your thoughts on that as well. I do agree that it shouldn't be added to the main quest table, though. So the caveat would be that your normal quest point cape would not require it, but it would be required for the master cape. Love to hear a bit more discussion on that as well. Anyway, thanks again for the great podcast, and thanks in advance for answering my discussion question. I'll see you all next week.
Okay, so ranching is an elite skill.
I could see that with 120 farming, not 120, with 80 farming, construction, and then 80 summoning instead of herb lore. would make more sense. It feels a bit too much endgame, I think, for have a ranch, for having a bunch of cheaps.
Yeah, yeah. I want to say just at this point that I think invention is a really good skill. Invention is a really good example of a skill that touches many other skills in game, and for that reason, I think they're calling it an elite skill. But personally, from the side of invention right now, I think they could accomplish that without calling it an elite skill, and it could have just been a standalone skill. Because when you think about it, what do you need in invention for 80 smithing, crafting, and what's the third one? Divination. What do you need in those three skills at level 80 to do stuff within the invention skill aside from unlocking it?
I mean, divination, I understand.
For the energy, then, sure.
Yeah, for the energy, the huge amount of energy. For smithing, I think it would be more of a balancing, maybe, for getting the XP, shield XP from crafting. Yeah.
See, this is the thing. It's good. Invention is a great skill right now, especially after the release of Batch 2. I think we all agree with that. But I don't see any point of having it called an elite skill with other requirements, nor do I see a point of why they had to have a completely different XP curve for it. And at that point, I think you might as well just call it a standard skill. So with that being said, I think that it should just be taking farming to 120 and applying it as a different training method after the 99 rather than an elite skill. Because I don't think it would touch enough aspects in the game to be the elite skill invention is, if we're going to keep that moniker.
Yeah.
No, I think it would be different, though. Like, it could be... I don't know. It could be some of the things that they're talking about with the farming is, like, you know, eventually, like, racing and just different like breeding for different qualities and stuff like that. So it would be in of its own. I would have never even entertained the idea of another elite skill. But I actually think Parnassus is kind of onto something here. Just because, for nothing other than the fact that, like, I don't see this as farming.
It's ranching.
This as farming at all. It is ranching. And
yeah.
we don't even own the damn ranch. So, like, that bugged me. It is more ranching. I don't know.
You make a point. I don't feel that it's within the farming skill, within the plant stuff, if I may say so.
I
really hoped it would be within the player-owned house. I mean, imagine have your farm there. But I actually feel the ranch could be something you did with your, I mean, between your farming runs, but it wouldn't really fit within the nature of farming, that you plant something, it grows. Well, it does.
But here's the thing: when I go out and I leave the city and I talk to someone, or I talk to one of the people I know who is not from the city here, and you know, they call themselves farmers, mm-hmm. even if they're not, you know, planting wheat and canola or whatever in their fields, and instead they're ranching, they still call themselves farmers.
Okay. Well, then there's
And I mean, this is coming from a place that is, you know, the second largest industry in Alberta, next to the oil industry, is farming and ranching. And those are largely considered one and the same.
Okay.
Well, then the question is, does it fit within the word farming in RuneScape?
I think it can.
If it does, then I would if we just left it as farming and you don't make an elite skill, I would still like to see a construction requirement. I would like to see some actual farming patches where you could farm the food for your livestock. I'd like it to see be much more of an ecosystem in that way. Like the herb lore requirement, I think actually could make sense if we are dealing with sickness with the animals and you had to use a certain herb or make a certain kind of salve or potion to heal them. There's a lot of stuff that could tie into it, but I understand what Shane's saying, because outside of the farming ecosystem, how would it tie into anything? And then
precisely, and that's why I don't think it makes sense as an elite skill.
Yeah.
And to me, the elite skill definition at this point in the game, aside from the XP curve, is that tie-in and the curve are the only thing that makes invention an elite skill. If you don't need the curve, and the tie-in could be done without calling it an elite skill. So that's why I think not having it as an elite skill is fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, not that
it's good. I'd agree. I wish we could somehow call it ranching, but, you know.
I still want it in my house.
I wish it would have been. Or at least just, like, let us buy it something. I hate the idea of being a tenant farmer. That just, ugh.
You know, a straw hat on your head, and then a straw out of my boy. And if you're going to my lawn, you're going out with your hands behind your head.
Is this a Swedish dude trying to do a southern accent or something? I am so confused. I don't know what is going on anymore in the show.
Did I get it right?
For a minute I thought you were doing the Muppets, the Swedish chef. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm frozen, sure.
Well, I'm just improvising.
You crack me up, dude. Yeah, we'll call that close enough.
Okay, close enough.
All right.
So, what was the moving on?
The second part was about the post 99 quests.
Oh yeah,
and
that
I
one.
Do want to say that on our discussion last week, I did miss the comment in the live stream that was said that it would be a separate list of requirements rather than the quest cape at the end. And now, if it's not going to be something that is going to go on the quest cape list, I am completely fine with that.
See, I was coming from the other end of that, where I'm worrying more about the. Coming from the skiller side of things, to where I don't feel like you should have to do a quest as a skiller to get everything that you want to get for your skilling. If you achieve 99 and you want to get a perk for that cape or whatever, nothing to do with questing. It had to do with your skilling. So you shouldn't then have to do a quest at that point. That's why I'm kind of against it.
From an adventurer's perspective, I wouldn't have a 99 requirement, because there are four types of people in RuneScape, in my dictionary. It's the combatants, the PVMers. It's the skillers. And bank standers. And think of it as a triangle, as every type of people is on their edge. The adventurers are in the middle, that they have to handle combat, they have to have the skills for questing, and they have to know how to bank stand and get the stuff before adventuring. So having a 99 is something I really wouldn't recommend. I'm mastering something to be able to quest. Now, as you said, Shane, I missed that note of it being a separate, and I'm very for that it being a Master Quest Cape requirement, because for Master Quest Cape, you actually need 99 rune crafting anyway.
Yeah.
And at that point, even though I took Master Quest Cape before maxing, I was still 99 in a few skills back then. From a skiller's perspective, I would actually feel very honored in making my own skill cape if I got the chance. But at the same time, I would want an extra perk out of that. And that's when we are coming into what Tanis mentioned. And you got a good point there, Tanis. I don't really know what to say. Compliment about it. You got a good point.
Yeah. All right. I completely agree with that. So, that's good. But I think it's okay to do as long as it's not part of the main quest cape, and as long as we're looking at potentially bringing it in and having a separate basket for it, I think that's fine too.
Yeah, I really want it. I mean, the skill capes is something very iconic to the game. I can't even say iconic. The word is too weak for that. It's a part of the game. It's a cornerstone.
Yep, definitely.
So a part of that is just the work of acquiring it, but at the same time, you don't want to... You must quest for it. As an adventurer, I want to say to all skillers, do some questing, do this, and you will be proud of yourself forever. But as a skiller, I know they got another type of sound in the trumpet.
Yeah.
Well, and we don't, we don't say that to the PVM community. Hey, you have to quest. You have to. You're going to have to quest. If you want to use that tier 92 Saren bow, you got to go do the Saren quest.
Well, and see, that's the thing. If you put one of these quests into game, you open that up going the other way. So, I mean.
But I don't think
you're right. The PVM community would scream loudly about that.
Well, and the thing that I think makes RuneScape really cool is you do have the ability to play how you want to. You're not forced. You know, this is a classless game. You know, if this was structured differently, if you had classes, if you had to do this and you had this structure, and okay, maybe I could see this. But we play this game as we want to play it, however we want to play it. No matter what that is. So I don't like the idea of having to be forced to, cross kind of genres with what you want to do. If you're an adventurer, great. You can do everything. I mean, that's cool. I mean, I kind of do a little bit of this and a little bit of that. It's not that I'm personally opposed. It's just I'm opposed principally.
Yeah, to putting that barrier at 99. All right, I can see that.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that makes sense then, because I mean, we got it out of the way that it's not something that's going to be on the master or on the standard quest cape. Now it's just a question of if we want to push people to that direction. Personally, I think it's fine because it's something that's always going to be there. You know, it's something that's always going to be there, just like the skill capes are always going to be there. These are things you're going to do one day at some point. And I think the game needs that because if you look back, I'm going to say this again. You look back to RuneScape Classic. How many people had 99s in RuneScape Classic?
Selected few.
Exactly. And I am of the belief that we need to get back to that kind of gameplay where there are truly prestigious things in game, like 99s were in RuneScape Classic. It doesn't need to be 99s today, but there should be something like that in the modern day RuneScape that someone can work towards.
But we do have those. I mean, look at all the different achievements and stuff you have.
But
on
is
the
completing
PVM side.
An achievement list and a PVM list truly prestigious?
Well, no, I'm not talking like that. I'm talking like final boss, insane final boss. I'm talking like those kind of warden. You know, I'm talking like those skilling pets. Dude, skilling pets is
skilling
that's
pets
a
are
huge
RNG
thing.
Based. You can't work toward those.
You totally work towards
it. Yes, you can.
Like, you might get lucky, but Shane might get lucky. Most of us have to put a lot of skill in.
I mean, we must put our back into it. I mean, before I can get a skilling pet, I must train the skill.
See?
I mean, I must gather stuff and start processing it.
I just have a different perspective than you guys. I think and I long for the days when there were grindy things in game, like the woodcutting of RuneScape Classic, where you had to click each time you wanted to hit the tree and have a chance of getting XP. And that made it getting 99 woodcutting a very prestigious thing. And that's what I want to see in game again. I want to see things that are hard. I want to see things that are hard that are not combat-based.
I guess Tanis and I must be youngsters then.
I don't know. I think you'd do it for about 30 minutes and be like, oh man, this sucks.
And then at the end of the day, only those with fortitude will get the cape or whatever the achievement is.
No, only those without jobs, Shane.
But here's the thing. If you look at this, what happened in RuneScape Classic? People did it.
Oh, and they were probably, what, 12 at that time? 13? So, hence, no job.
But the thing is, when it comes down to it, what do you have that is not combat related? In game, that is truly prestigious at this point. That is not a skilling pet. But they're RNG based, so there's no real.
I mean, salty.
Work. There's no
sandy title.
Max cape, comp cape,
trimmed. And I got Master Quest cape before Max cape, and that was totally.
120s are the grind. I mean. You got 120 farming? You know how grindy that was.
That was easy.
I think 120s are prestigious. I'm always impressed when I see someone.
I will say that 120s are prestigious, and
we got a really hardcore Iron Man who's been getting 120s and over 1 billion. Yeah, Herblaw, and he's on the first page of top.
Wow.
Hardcore Iron Man's right now. I think he was at 23rd place last I checked on him.
So with that being said,
that makes me drop my jaw.
What's wrong with just adding another thing onto this list of quests that you're going to need to get 99 for to do?
Because do you really think that one needs a 99 expertise? I mean, you mean as a regular quest, right?
No, I mean as the special quest that they would be.
But the special quest unlocks the perk for the cape, right? Or it unlocks something for that skill at 99.
I mean, I would love the story.
Right. What's the difference?
Give this sense of accomplishment of having my own cape. And it's being truly mine that not only did I work hard towards this and I made it myself and now I can proudly wear it. I mean, the 99K cost back in the day when it was introduced, that was a huge cost. But did people really think two times before buying it? No, because it was worth it. So I can clearly see that it's something that people will truly want to do. It's just a question if we want to force skillers. But on the other hand, if you are a skiller,
you're not going to be forced to do anything, though.
No, well, exactly.
You're still going to be able to get a standard skilling cape.
Yes.
If you want something that is grindy, prestigious, and really hard to do, then come back out with some 200 mil capes. In fact, come out with like a 200 mil cape. Doesn't have any trim on it. It's just the pure cape.
And this is
that you're not going to get any grindier than that.
And now we're getting to the point where I can bring this out again, and I can say this is the whole reason.
I know where we're going.
This is the whole reason that for a long time I've wanted prestige is because I feel like there is something missing. That is truly hard from the skilling side of things in game. And if you can get someone to prestige all their skills to 99 10 times, that's something.
That was either one hell of a setup, or you're just really good at weaving prestige into any.
Oh, I'm good at weaving anything into anything if you know me long enough.
But you do have a point though, and I think that's a legitimate point. Prestige would have been a very good
right, and that's the same reason I want these quests now that I know that they're not going to be part of the standard questscape.
But see, that's not fair. See, your baby being the quest cape. Well, what if your baby was your skiller?
But see, the difference is that the quest cape is something that is defined as completing all the quests in the game. But at the other side of it, these are not ordinary quests. These are the next tier of quests. So that's why it doesn't make sense to have them on the same page.
But it's the same. It's the same difference, Shane. If I have to reach a 99 in a certain skill, just to be able to do a quest to unlock the best perk in that skill, then you should have to get 99 in that skill and have to do the quest for your quest cape. Like, fair is fair, right?
You're still going to need to do the quest for the master quest cape.
I'm not worried about the master quest cape. We're talking about if you're getting a 99, you should have access, unless the skill goes to a legitimate 120, at 99, you should have everything available to you without having to do a quest.
See, my impression of this, and we might be misinterpreting this here, the both of us, is that you're still going to be able to purchase a skill cape at 99 without doing the quest.
Right, but I thought the quest was the barrier to some additional perk that you would that you're going to want to have.
Yeah, it would be.
If you don't, so I can't be the most efficient skiller if I don't have that perk. Like, I have to have that in order to play my style of game.
And to put it on another coin, if I want the Master Quest Cape, I need to go get 117 Dungeoneering, which isn't, necessarily questing related at all. I have to go kill bosses for lore books, which, aside from the lore, isn't questing related or skilling related. So, I mean, it really is something that is a matter of perspective. And I think when it comes down to it, could be explained away with proper marketing and persuasion.
Yeah, the only thing I want to say that I see quests as an event and or history that changes the world. And on that matter, skill cape is more of a personal experience. And that's why I agree it shouldn't be with the regular quest cape. But most quest cape makes sense because it's still a personal event that affects you and how you view things. And we can discuss this a lot back and forth.
Yeah, I was just about to say, we've probably opened up another four or five potential discussion topics here going forward, so we can probably leave it at that.
Yeah, so
Nassius is good at that, ain't he? We always have pretty good discussions on these questions.
Yeah.
Oh, that's all right. Nassius. That's all right, because I'm right. Anyways, if you guys want to send in topics or questions, you can email them to questions@rsbnb.com. You can call or text 571-57BNB, which is 571-572-2632. Or you can leave us a DM on Twitter @rsbnb. All right. Okay, that sound is not supposed to happen. Skype apparently ignores a do not disturb status. Wow. Okay.
Huh.
Who knew? Who knew? Skype is a piece of junk. You guys.
Yeah, you do hear it on YouTube once in a while. On a YouTube video, you hear the little.
Yeah. All right. Skype. So, tech news. YouTube has published their deleted videos report for the year. And, well, not for the year. Sorry. The first quarter here between October and December of 2017, 8.3 million videos were deleted off of YouTube. This does not include videos that were removed for copyright or legal reasons. Now, sexually explicit videos attracted 9.1 million reports from the users of the website, while 4.7 million reported for hateful or abusive content. Now, you're probably wondering where these all came from here. $6.7 million came from YouTube's automated tools, $1.1 million from a trusted individual, $400,000 from another YouTube user, $64,000 from non-governmental organizations, and $73,000 from government agencies. So automated tools basically refers to YouTube's machine learning services that spot these videos and look at the fingerprints and bring them down. Now, when it comes to human-reported flags for October to December 2017, we mentioned that the sexually explicit videos were on top at 9.1 million. Following that at about 8 million were spam or misleading videos. Coming in at just under 5 million was hateful or abusive, followed by violent or repulsive, then harmful or dangerous acts, 1.5 million child abuse, and around 500,000 that promoted terrorism. And these are all in the report that YouTube made available to people this week. Now, there was also an issue with this because, you know, YouTube has in the past been using algorithms to curate its YouTube Kids app. And, you know, they were using this algorithm and inappropriate videos have slipped through the cracks and appeared on the YouTube Kids platform, which is not great. That's actually really, really horrible.
And we should say, to be fair, people were gaining the system with that, you know.
Yeah. And I mean, that just shows, you know, the limit of algorithms and where we're at today. And, you know, maybe 5 or 10 years down the line, it might be different. But hey, now you might be wondering what countries flag these videos. Well, the top 10 countries flagging these videos in order were India, the United States, Brazil, Russia, Germany, the UK, Mexico, Turkey, Indonesia, and Saudi Arabia. So that's where most of the flags came from. And I mean, that makes sense. There's some of the biggest countries in the world and I guess have the most YouTube users.
I'm surprised.
Yeah, I don't normally think of India
YouTube
as
is even available in some of those
places. Yeah, I don't think of, you know, YouTube as being something that the vast majority of those in India will be able to access because there are great sections of that country that are poor. But I guess they're probably coming online pretty fast these days.
Well, I can't believe that Saudi allows YouTube. Like,
yeah, don't
that really blows my mind.
I remember an article about Saudi censoring women.
Out of newspapers
and even IKEA catalogs.
Yeah, and you know, you look at Saudi Arabia. It wasn't until recently that this summer women are going to be able to get the ability to drive in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah,
and if you go to Saudi Arabia and see a Starbucks, it's not the woman with the crown there because they didn't want to put that on the Starbucks logo in Saudi Arabia either. So very interesting to see this coming in at number 10 here.
Maybe this is a good step towards watching what you want.
Yeah, I think they're going to see some modernization there. And, you know, it's just really surprising that, let's see, what was this on the graph here? Yeah, top 10 countries for flagging videos. Really surprising that India is on the top. But, you know, when you split this down, I am glad that that all these categories are getting a substantial number of videos removed because, you know, you want YouTube to be a platform that everyone can use. And it's good that these kind of videos are being removed.
It's become library.
Yeah, that's right. I would like to see the promoting terrorism number higher, though.
Well, maybe there's just not all that many people promoting terrorism.
Yeah. ISIS has taken a hit in the last year or so as well. So, but, you know, when you look at these numbers, they are just massive. So I wanted to share that with you guys for tech news.
Cool.
Our next piece of tech news is related to something that Amazon is going to be trying. So, you know, we always love talking about Amazon here on RSPNB Update and whatnot, and how Amazon was at one point going to be trying drones to deliver packages. Well, they're trying something else now. The idea is that to combat porch thieves, Amazon is going to slip packages into people's cars, trunks, members of Amazon Prime who have their cars parked, they're going to be able to hook their car up to the internet and Amazon will be able to see where it is. And in 37 U.S. cities, for customers with newer and compatible vehicles, they're going to be able to get this going forward. And all that is required is to have packages delivered to a car that is downloading an app from Amazon and linking it to the vehicle's so-called connected car service, such as GM's OnStar or Volvo's OnCall service. So you don't even need something like CarPlay or Android Auto for this. And the idea behind this is that they'll be able to send someone up to your car, they'll be able to open your trunk, or the boot as you guys call it in Europe, and put the package in there and have it be secure, and that this is probably going to be more secure than leaving it on a front porch. So
it sounds more secure, but it sounds creepy.
Yeah. Creepy as hell.
Yep.
And the security issues if somebody manages to hack this.
And you know what? These corporations have done nothing to prove that they can be trusted with our information, let alone the keys to our car or our house. No,
you're not even going to need the key. Not. They just want into your car.
Oh, well, yeah, I mean, but you know, the metaphorical key, yeah, okay. I guess. Yeah.
I'm sorry, but I'm going to stick with them giving me a message that you have a package to pick up. And then I have to reschedule, I mean, adjust myself after when the opening times are and just pick up the package.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes the traditional methods aren't just the most efficient ways.
This will initially be available in San Francisco, Seattle, Atlanta, Nashville, Milwaukee, Salt Lake, and Washington, D.C.
Really, they're implementing this in Nashville?
Yep.
Really? Because nobody has guns there.
Yeah, it's also going to work with Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, Cadillac, Volvo. And, you know, this is basically they're saying, hey, we can do this, but Amazon also has their key in home service as well. So this is, you know, another way to just get your packages directly to you. So, yeah, like you guys, I share concerns and whatnot. So, I mean, it's definitely something. But be interesting to see how many people actually jump on board with this because it just feels damn weird, doesn't it?
Yes. Yes.
Well, I'm more towards a private person that if I have something, I'm the one who's maintaining it and I'm the one assuring that I'm the only one who have access to stuff, access to the car, to my home, and if somebody enters, then that person has my permission. And it doesn't feel right if I just give out my keys on a whim and just saying, oh, yeah, sure, I trust you. So here you go. And I trust you have good morale and don't do something you shouldn't do.
Well, I don't trust people or the company. I mean, look, they just caught the Golden State Killer after 50 years. And he was a cop for a while. So now I'm supposed to think that could never happen with an Amazon delivery driver just hanging out in the back seat of your car. Like, no, it is creepy. And it's just, I think we're taking it a little bit too far here.
And see, that's the thing. Amazon wants to do whatever they can do to sell. So, and I mean, they even apparently have doors and whatnot, door locks that you can get for your house that allows Amazon delivery people or delivery people in general to enter your house if they're delivering for Amazon to put something inside.
See, but, you know, they're all thinking, oh, we're going to get more business with this, but one incident, let one person, one delivery person do something terrible. And that would end it. They would never be able to do that again. No one would ever sign up.
Yep.
I mean, at some point, you got to trust people.
But not at this point.
Yeah,
and I trust the mailman not reading my mail. Anyways, and I'm not the type of person who wants to reject an idea because there is one person who doesn't follow along the lines, the purpose of why the idea was implemented, because there will always be the one person who abuses it. I'm not for shutting down an idea, but this is going into the privacy of people, their homes and cars and however long you now can take this. And that is something I really don't recommend you to think, because at some point people have to assure that only they have the keys to what's truly theirs.
Yeah,
This is a step forward of everything being accessed by everybody.
Yeah, and we're heading towards that world, and that's probably not a good thing. So,
no, I mean, we have a Bill of Rights in this country that says you cannot illegally come into my home. Like, the government cannot come into my home without a warrant, but I'm going to sign that over to Amazon? No. Like, absolutely not. And the irony is, I see what you're saying, Tycho. Like, we should have some faith in each other, right? But the irony is, we have no faith in each other, which is why they came up with this idea in the first place, because you can't leave a package on your doorstep. So, I don't know. If I'm going to have something stolen, I'd... Yeah, it's absurd.
All right.
Yeah, but it can be because the opportunity makes the thief. That if a package on somebody's doorstep, nobody's watching, that's an opportunity. So, but I get what you mean. They want to have a more secure way, and then of course, get the keys to people's cars.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to our last piece of tech news here, and that is that Belgium has decided that lockboxes are illegal, loot boxes are illegal. This has been going on for a long, long time. We've been discussing it here on the podcast, Overwatch, Battlefront 2, EA, and, you know, it's come down to it that Belgium has decided that, yes, they are, in fact, illegal. This follows the Netherlands in doing that. The Netherlands hit them harder. So, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see now what happens to our North American game companies that operate worldwide that have these lockboxes and whatnot to see if they're illegal. So
that's the best thing to come out of Belgium since waffles. That's great.
Games they looked at included Battlefront 2, FIFA 18, Overwatch, and CSGO. And the only game that the commission didn't banhammer on this is EA's Battlefront. And, you know, EA still doesn't have any loot boxes in the game. And all the others, according to regulators, constitute illegal gambling. Even the Overwatch ones that are just purely cosmetic.
Yeah. It's both good and bad because just as rune coins is a very important income for Jagex as a company, loot boxes is a vital thing for their companies to make money because you went to the store, you paid for the product, and you went home happy and played the game, and the company were happy because you bought it. But today you have the downloadable things and loot boxes, so it's essential, but at the same time, I see it as a form of gambling, but people need to really put their lid on what they are giving out with this.
Yeah. But they're not, I was just going to say, this isn't hampering their ability to do microtransactions. This is only hampering their ability to screw you over with microtransactions. Like, look at Solomon's Store. You buy rune coins, and you know damn well what you're buying. you're not buying a chance at getting something. Like, you know what you're buying. You're buying an outfit. It looks like this. I mean, that's what you get for your money. And loot boxes, you don't know what you're going to get. You might get nothing.
And see, that's the thing. Star Trek Online has them as well. And they're a primary income stream for the company because, you know, they don't put new ships out that often. But, you know, the lock boxes and whatnot are very popular with players. You can log in and, you know, it's not uncommon to see, you know, numerous grand prize per hours ticked off. So based on that, a substantial number are being opened there. Now, this is less heavy-handed than the Netherlands, who gave companies until June 20th to remove the loot boxes. Belgium says that they're requesting information from publishers and developers to determine who is responsible for removing them. And if the industry doesn't comply, responsible individuals could face up to 5 years in prison and fines of up to 800 euros.
Good.
So,
I love it.
Now, I just wanted to ask one thing. Do we think that this will affect Treasure Hunter in any way on RS? Because you can see what you're potentially getting with that, right? And you're always going to get something. So I'm wondering if it affects
Treasure Hunter. That's the thing. You get presented with all the how many there are, 28 skills plus 2 extras. So let's say 30. You know you're going to get one of the 30 things. So in a sense, you know what you're getting, while the loot boxes are way more random and not informing the player of exactly what they can get. They present the most valuable stuff, and that's a sales tactics that you could get these, and people go,
but you're not going to, because I mean, they came out a few months ago with the numbers on those, and it's crazy. RNG.
So yeah. I agree with people needing to go something towards Treasure Hunter. I mean, for example, imagine if you can see what's in a loot box before you buy it, and if you don't like it, then you have the opportunity of buying it so that the next loot box, so you can preview the next loot box before buying it. So you're buying something, you know what you're getting, and you still have that RNG in it.
Yeah.
Thoughts?
I almost feel like enough. I mean, when it is a game of chance for money, that is gambling.
Yeah,
that's what it is. So, will that affect Treasure Hunter? It could. It could. We may have to make some changes and some tweaks around the edges. I don't think we have to throw it out, but I think you'd have to maybe make some changes, because you can't have a game of chance for real money. That is gambling.
It is.
That's why it's popular. That's why everyone's wanting to do it.
Yeah, believe me, there are people who just love gambling and live for gambling. I mean, there are even people at Duel Arena staking like a lot of money, but even though it's a matter of skill, they still call it gambling. Mm-hmm. But
yeah, I'm not seeing anything.
It's just the amount that we're talking about. I mean, where goes the line of it being acceptable gambling and non-acceptable gambling? Because if I go to a store and buy a pack of gaming cards, it can be Pokemon Yu-Gi-Oh! Yeah, Pokemon cards. I mean, that is gambling, but mm-hmm. it's something
that
you see
everywhere. But all the cards you get are useful.
Everywhere. Yeah.
That can be debated. I mean, I feel I've been ripped off sometimes. But yeah, you know you're getting 7 cards per package, and you know the price. So, but that is still a gambling. So the question is, where goes the line? And I think this is a really good opportunity to push back on those who have crossed the line to see how far can we go.
Yeah. And it's going to be very interesting to watch all these games and see where this goes, because, you know, if they got to make concessions for Belgium and the Netherlands, they're going to need to make concessions everywhere. Just like Facebook making privacy concessions in the EU is affecting a good part of the world as well. So,
oh, yes.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Alrighty, well, that's it for tech news, everyone. We're going to move on to our final segment where we recap the Skill of the Month competition. And as you can see here, Sorensen 57 still in first place in this fletching competition. 25.7 million XP gained. Second place, Parnassius, 9.8. Third place, X-Blades with just over 1 million XP. But I can also report to you guys that the Skill of the Month for May is going to be thieving. So if you want to sign up for the May Thieving Skill of the Month, just head on over to rsbnb.com/skotm and sign up. And I think this would be a good thing for lots of people to do because it's safe cracking. Safe cracking is going to be out next week.
Oh, yeah.
So that'd, perfect that'd timing cool. for it.
Yeah.
Because crime doesn't pay.
Well, it's going to pay. It's going to pay for this Skill of the Month, that's for sure.
Will there be a link for the sign up, Shane, in the notes?
Yes, there will. You can find a link to the awesome. Sign up in the notes at update.rsb.com. Oh, thank you.
Perfect. I might throw my hat in the ring this time.
We'll yeah, see. And you know, I'm gonna what I want to do with this is I also want to open it to the wider community because right now you need an RSBNB form account, and you know, I'm just looking for a way of verifying users and whatnot, but should be able to do it. So. That cool. should be in place by the end of the weekend. Fingers crossed.
Yeah, very good. Very good.
All right, so on to achievements this week. Starting off on April 26th, we had Touchpad Pro with 200 million crafting experience. Thieves also got 120 strength on the 26th. Also continuing on the 26th, we have I Defend with 99 magic. Chaz 5100 with 99 rune crafting. And VSS with 99 farming. Congratulations, everyone.
Very good. We also have Seabreeze 24 with 99 Hunter on April 25th. Jade Gizmo with 99 Ranged on April 25th. We have Link V with 99 Construction on April 24th. Oh, mama, here we go. Varrog.
Say it. Bard.
Okay. Varrog. Lambard with 99 thieving on April 22nd. I'm sorry I have butchered your name. Wiley with 99 farming on April 22nd.
And
Cavalier, is this one?
And that's my part.
Okay, that one's yours. Okay.
Let's see if I can do it better. It's Cavalierio with 99 thieving on 21st of April, and Jade Gizmo with 99 farming also on 21st of April. And apparently, it's Cavalierio stole my heart because he got hit points off the day after thieving on the April of 20th. No, it was the day before. My bad. 99 hit points the day before. And Thieves with 120 hit points, April 20th.
Although I should say Constitution. Oops.
Same thing, Shane. I mean, it's still hit points in old school.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and I'm pulling this out of the legacy system because inside our databases, it's represented as hit points still.
Yeah, but we get what you mean.
Alrighty, nicely done. So, pick of the week time. What do you got for us, Tanis?
I have a movie everyone just has to go out and see. So you're probably aware Avengers Infinity War is out, and it is really good. Like really, really good. It's a pretty long movie. And let me just say, I have never seen an Avengers movie. I've never seen an Avengers movie. I've never seen any of the MCU movies. Nothing. I went into this totally and figuratively blind, essentially. Yeah. I had no idea, you know, what was going on. And I was still able to follow it and really get into it. And there's, you know, of course it's an action movie, but there's also some humor in it. And it's just really good. It's very well done. And I'll tell you, this is how good the movie was. When the credits were rolling, nobody moved. Everyone just sat there. I'm like, do they know something? I don't know. Like, what's going on here? Because the whole theater just stayed seated. I was like, huh, wow. You don't see that every day. So, yeah, very, very cool. Yeah, I mean, you know, we wanted to get, you know, I had to use the bathroom. So.
I can take a guess, because I didn't know it either, but I got notified.
Yeah, I
there is a bonus scene at the end, apparently, that everybody wants to see.
Yeah, and that is the case. We didn't know that. I don't think it really has much of a... It is just another scene. It's not.
And yet everybody stayed.
Yeah, I know. Because it was that good. I mean, even something that, you know, had no, like, isn't going to have, like, any bearing or anything. Like, it's still, you still want to see every minute of everything.
That's pretty high.
Yeah, I really, like I said, I really enjoyed it. Robert, Robert Downey Jr., he was so good. He was, like, really, really good. Really, really enjoyed his role.
I had a family member who watched it earlier today, just before the show, and that's basically what you are saying. It was a really good movie, and that you could understand the bad guy's perspective, and then add some drama, and then had some humor, and I get the same sense that it's a movie you must see. And that's coming from me, who's been losing my faith in Hollywood, but they have actually given me faith again that they can make good movies the last year, believe it or not. There was a period when they really, how do I say it? They pulled on a sidetrack and then the train kind of went ham. but they've gotten on the right track again, and oh, that engine sure is going through station after station. And
yeah, you know, I've always heard good things about the Marvel movies, and that they've done, you know, a pretty good job. And I will tell you, after seeing Avengers: Infinity War, my wife and I both were like, oh, we want to go. We want to see all of them now. Like, we want to see all the movies that were leading up to this, because they're really, like, this was a really good movie.
Oh, and it was long too, 149 minutes.
Yes, yeah, it was cool. I mean, thoroughly enjoyed it and highly recommend it.
Alrighty then, that is Infinity War, and you know they also did update the IMDb page for this, and it's really sharp looking too. Normally that's what I pull up when you guys are looking at movies for pick of the week, is I pull up IMDb on it, and it looks really really good. So, all right, that's Marvel's Infinity War. So, what have we been up to on RS? Otherwise, let's start with you, Tycho.
So, at the moment, I'm a break from RuneScape. And I've been using this opportunity to actually find another game for a change. And what I found was Guild Wars 2. So I tested it, and it was a very huge change from somebody who used the mouse to move around. Now I actually had to use my keyboard. So the so the change there was really fast. Like, how do I move around? Oh, keyboard. but it was really good. We talked pre-show if it would be the pick of the week, but Infinity War is clearly something everybody must see. But I've been really enjoying the story, the lore around it, and been waking up the adventurer within myself, and I really love it. And on top of that, I found my helm of Nettisnot in there.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, I actually found it. The sad part about it is that I found it after I had such a huge cinematic moment where I'm standing and looking at the sunset outside the Golden City with the heroes all around me. Like, yeah. I was looking really good right now. 5 minutes after, you find your helm of Nettisnot, and you, no, the wrong fashion scape. But I've been enjoying this. But no, I'm taking a break from 120 Slayer. I'm 117 at the moment. And while it's... Yeah, I'm waiting for things to pile up. I've already lost my Master Quest cape, but I will be getting it back soon.
Alrighty, how about you, Tanis?
I've actually been back on my 120 Slayer grind, so done quite a bit of Slayer this last week. We're moving right along. We're probably, I think we're at about 88 mil, so we're getting there.
Sounds good. All right. As for me this week, a couple clue scrolls. Nothing too great to report. Couple hundred K, 500K, one of them. But beyond that, just divination gathering. And I completed my master divination set. So I now have that full set that was put into game. And, you know, that was initially the treasure hunter one. So nice to see that coming to fruition and all that. I'm up to 75 million GP right now. So.
Oh, cool.
Yep. But I believe that's it for this episode of Update, unless there's anything else.
I just gotta say one thing. I can't believe somebody as evil as Mudraven is working on a farm. I mean, that could be the new Broken Home too.
Well, he is putting spiders there.
Oh. Gotta be big ones.
So there's that.
Well, that's just a thought I had in my head. I just can't believe it.
Yeah. And, I mean, that might lead into the quest we're getting as well. But we discussed that already.
Yeah, I hope not.
Anyways, that's it for this episode of Update. If you guys want more, you can find us in-game at Friends Chat Bits Bytes. And if you want full show notes for this episode, you can find that at update.rsbnb.com. And with that being said, we'll see you next week for another episode of RSBNB Update. Take care, everyone.
See you next time.
Later.